So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you're here with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, having descended with a shout and not having left us, but guaranteed to be here to raise the dead and then to take us up to the wedding supper, to your own great incarnation, where we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords, becoming all and in all. It's going to be marvelous. We know this, Lord, by your word. We have nothing in ourselves to go by. We would not have thought of it. We would not at all have considered ourselves a part of it. But because of you, your revelation, your kindness to the invitation, to the wedding supper, we are so happy to be a part of it, Lord, and to know we will sit with the great King and not simply sit with him as though we were part of a throng that we're looking on, but sit with him who is the husband of the bride. And we're appreciative of that, Lord. We really do appreciate it. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Now we look to you, Lord, for your word to bless us, to guide us, to show us those things that we surely, although are aware of, ought to be even more aware of at this time. And so we give ourselves to you in the study of the word and have confidence that you'll just give us exactly the right thing to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. A lot of sickness around, but I've always taken great consolation, you know, even in sickness, as Brother Branham said, something's got to take you out of this world. I never could understand how Elisha was sick wherewith of the sickness wherewith he died. And, you know, he had twice the miracles that Elijah had. And many, many people, I guess, find it hard in the face of the promise of healing and all those things to reconcile how that we can get sick. Well, ever since Brother Branham said, something's got to take you out of this world, it's made me very happy. And I keep thinking, well, as I told you, diseases come and diseases go till the last one comes and I go with it. And I was thinking along, maybe this would be my turn to get out of here, but no luck. This evidently is not it. So even disease can be very friendly. You know, like the Bible said, make friends with the unrighteous mammon. Maybe we should make friends with disease, so to speak, as long as it's the right kind. And get you out of here in a hurry, like a good heart attack or something. I said heart, not a heart attack, because most of our attacks are very hard, but they're not hard enough to get us out of here. So, we survived colds, and I'd imagine that's what's going around everywhere. In my phone calls from different parts of the country, I find people aren't too happy with this, whatever it is that's going around. But now, this morning, I want to bring a message on the importance of water baptism. Now, you notice that every now and then I fill in a little pastoral message with the subject to which we're considering, which is immortality at this time. But we're going to look at water baptism. And before we read the scripture that really pertain to the subject, I want to let you know or to advise you that many people think that water baptism actually is not tremendously weighty and vitally important spiritually, even though it is commanded. There's so many people view water baptism as something which should be done, and it's fine, it's there in the Bible, but they don't really appreciate the weight of it in the place that it has in the consummate plan of Almighty God. Now, I think perhaps this is due in part to the resting of Scripture, which is the misunderstanding or deliberately putting a wrong meaning on it. It's due to this resting of Scripture that Peter gives us on this subject of water baptism in a sort of indirect way. Now, let's go to that first. Just to get you set up with my thinking and why I'm going taking this subject or the certain thing in mind. Now, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 to 18. No, not what I want there. 3rd chapter, 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, 2 Peter, I'll get to later on.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, that's a tremendous statement, but many people just sort of use that as not really denigrating the water baptism, but putting a meaning on it that is less than the meaning that Peter puts upon it. Now, over here in 2 Peter, that I was going to read first, but I read this other, 2 Peter 3, it mentions there in that just look at verse 15, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto us, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That is, they do wrong by them. They change the meaning of things. They rest as they do also other scriptures to their own destruction. Now, Peter here understood that people just many times don't put the right meaning, emphasis, and position and understanding on scripture. And when he wrote this over here about how that water baptism is actually an answer of a good conscience toward God, many people actually take that and they say, well, hey, there's really nothing much to it. See? This is just an answer of a good conscience. And when you begin looking at Scripture in that light, we're too prone to just begin to move it into a position that God never put it into. Now, we look at that 21st verse again of 1 Peter 3, 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism also, or doth also now save us. Now, that's a good, strong statement. See? Then, cutting in parenthetically, not putting away of the flesh of the filth, but of a good answer of a good conscience toward God. And right away, that little thing comes up, well, just a minute. The putting of the filth of the flesh away is not involved there. And really, all it amounts to is just a good answer, an answer of good conscience toward God. And he talks about the resurrection there. And it looks like this thing is just more or less, at the best you might say, is sort of symbolic. And there isn't just too much to it. You see, it's that little parenthetic statement in there that caused people to rest the literalization and the strength and authority of water baptism. So they take it completely out of context because so much of modern religion puts the wrong meaning on water baptism. And when you begin getting away from the actual meaning, the actual reality, the actual part that water baptism has in the place of God, pretty soon you become denominationalized and you say, well, hey,
we baptize this brother into our church. And it's water baptism, no matter how we do it into our church. And this is the thing that does it. And they get away from Scripture entirely. Even some people go so far as to go to Acts 22 and 16. And they build an entirely fallacious doctrine upon it. And they take it so far as where Paul is saying to this one who has been converted, he's got a real turning to God, and it said here, in the case of this really Paul himself, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now you'll notice in here that these people don't heed what Peter said, and they say, hey, I want to tell you something. Water baptism actually cleanses me from sin. You can just make the Scripture say almost anything you want it to say. So, there is a problem with actually everything that's in the Bible. I don't care what it is. You talk about marriage and divorce. There's 50 answers, and 49 are wrong, if not all 50. And we're looking for the right one. You talk about birth control, and that's got answers. And you can go to the Bible and find a dozen statements that you might want to look at and work at. And you could be wrong. There's hardly anything in Scripture that people cannot rest, that is, twist and take out of its context and take out of its true meaning. And even water baptism goes from the place of where, well, it really doesn't mean anything. And then it means too much. Well, look, there's got to be a middle of the road. And we're going to try to see what the middle of the road is. Now, what's happened is that many people don't understand, first of all, that there are two baptisms. One is a baptism in water, and one is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And they are both spoken of in Scripture, and both of them have two different things entirely to accomplish in the plan of Almighty God. Now, when it comes to water baptism, it means the entering into water for immersion, which we'll discuss. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the entering into Christ, not by water. For one does not enter into Christ by water. There is no way. For those who believe, therefore, that water baptism, placing you into any church, and I don't care if it's sprinkling or immersion or any way that you ever employ it, and think that you are in Christ, that is 100% fallacious. You can only get into Christ by being baptized by the Holy Ghost. The baptisms are two different things entirely. Now, many do not realize that Romans 6, 3 to 10 refers not to water baptism, but being literally baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, let's just take a look at this. Romans, the 6th chapter. Know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now you say, well, that sounds all right, that being baptized into Christ. Now what is that? Well, that's not water. But let's read a little further and it begins to look like water. Therefore, as we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, you see, there you are. You go right to a place where you could say, hey, that's water. Because water symbolizes the person dying and coming up anew. So that's got to be water. And you'd be surprised the people that make that water. There's all kinds of them. There's a whole great denomination that's based upon that. And then remember that there are many people who understand one God. Not as we do, but they believe in one God. And they have regenerational baptism in this very Scripture. Now, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Now, that is not water baptism. No way, shape, and form. That is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. All right. What we are really after is to show that water baptism is very, very important and wonderful and absolutely necessary, because the consequences of it naturally lead to the rebirth or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we are speaking of. This is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But water baptism actually precedes it. Water baptism is literally the second step in the plan of God to a complete regeneration and redemption. Now, the Bible warns you can't put anything in that's not in there already. You can't take anything out. Water baptism is step number two. One, two, three. Now, let's just look at the one. That's the one person we are told to look to and to consider. And when we do, because it's a command to consider him, let's see what he had to do with water baptism. Now, that's fair. I'm taking my time working around to get right where I want to go. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, first of all. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us, that's unbelief. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now it tells you and me that we are to consider him who was here in physical flesh and walked as a man upon this earth. So there it is. Now, what about this one that we are to look to? Is there something concerning water baptism that we can see in his life and apply it to ours? Well, let's just go to the book of Mark, chapter 1, 1 to 11. And we'll begin to see what I hope we'll see this morning. Okay. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my servant before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Now that's concerning John the Baptist, who came before Jesus Christ. And John is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. All right. John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now notice, John's baptizing in water. Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now watch. Came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water. Now, not out of the water to the river bank, but he was plunged into the water. And as he came up out of the water and stood upon his feet, the heavens opened. The Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, let's go to John 1, verses 24 to 34. We're getting some history here now, because here we see we're supposed to look to Jesus, and he's baptized in water. And we got to find out about his baptism. 24. And they which were of the Pharisees asked him, that's John, and said, why do you baptize then if you be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch, and I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now notice what he called him. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now just keep those things in mind. He said he's a lamb. He's got to be manifest. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and an abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, and I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. And that's as plain as the nose on your face. He tells you exactly what was going on. And he tells you what happened. All right. It is very evident that the one we are admonished to consider, to gaze at sincerely, was baptized in water. Now, he did not miss it, nor neglect it. It was part that he was to do. Now notice, notice who he was that was baptized, is revealed to us in John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in verse 14, and that word, that one, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's the one that is spoken of also here, in Philippians, the second chapter. Now, let's just bear with me to put it together for you. 5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained to be equal with God. That word robbery is entirely out of line. But made himself in a reputation. Reputation took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and gave him a name to be, which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things on the earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. Now that tells you who he is. We also go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Okay. Verses 14 to 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might bring to nothing him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. That's bring him down lower. He loses his power entirely, thrown in the lake of fire. Deliver them through who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him that speeds the seed of Abraham, because he became a man like you and me. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be the merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now all I'm doing this for is to show you that Jesus, the one that we talk about, the one that we claim to be the Lamb, the Savior, everything else, this one was baptized in water for a very special purpose. And it was not omitted. He had to do it. And then you can play it down all you want and say, well, why was it really necessary? What is there to it? Well, there is something to it. It was necessary. All right. Now, see how Jesus told them why he must be baptized. Now, let's go to Matthew 3:13-17. We got to get all the scripture we know on this subject. Well, not all of it, but we got to get enough of it, so we can see just where we are in this subject, what water baptism is all about, because we ought to know. See, the reason I preach this way, I knew nothing.
I was told so much ridiculous things about water baptism that, well, it really didn't matter, but it was sort of thing to do. Oh, yes, it really did matter, but... And it was a long time before I began to realize, hey, this is part of God's plan. And you don't fool with it. You obey it. You walk just according to that word. Now, Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized to him. Now this one that we know to be the Son of God. This one that was pre-incarnated. This one who had the glory shared with the Father because he was the physical manifestation of the attributes of the Father. Now, I know that's tough, but I'll get into that someday and explain it all out very, very clear. And he was there. And he's the one that said, lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. This is the one of whom it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And he's coming to a prophet to get baptized in water. Now, you can't get away from it. No way you can get away from the scripture. It's right here. John said, I need to be baptized of thee. Why? Because this is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, John said, he's preferred before me because he is before me. He said, why are you coming to me? Jesus said, all right. Suffer it to be so now, loud. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. This is something I got to do that is right to be done. And I can't get away from it. And if this isn't fulfilled, it just doesn't end. You follow me? Okay, then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. Or in whom I am pleased, but the other scripture says, in whom I am pleased to dwell. All right. Now, if we quickly go to John 1 and 29, we're going to see something here. The next day, John sees Jesus coming and said, now, he doesn't say, this is the Son of God. This is the one that I know is the Son of God. What does he say? He says, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is a sacrifice designated to take away the sin of the world. And Jesus said, not now, listen, this is prior to when he went into the water. It was after he went in and came up that the Holy Ghost came in and the voice said, this is my beloved Son. In the meantime, this was the voice of God in John that says, this is the sacrifice. Now, it's at this time of the sacrifice that Jesus came to John and said, baptize me. And John said, hold it. He said, you should baptize me. And he said, no. Because as the sacrificial lamb, it behooves me to be baptized in water. Now, Brother Branham didn't know the answer. And the theologians didn't know the answer. So being a prophet, he went to God. And he said, why was it that Jesus had to be baptized in water? And the answer came back, it's the washing of the sacrifice. Now, let's look at the washing of the sacrifice. Leviticus 1:1-13. Then we'll bring it all together for you so you'll understand water baptism, why you were baptized in water, and why everybody's got to get baptized in water, and why there's nothing in the Word of God that's simple or trashy, or that you fool with it, that you don't exalt. See, we're here for one reason, to exalt the Word of God, brother, sister. That's why I got a face like a flint in a heart like an old maid's, you know. She won't have a man around her. You ain't going to get around me. I'm hard-hearted on these things because, look, I was cheated. And I'm not going to stand before any group of people on Judgment Day by the grace of God. And they'll say, well, Lee Vail, you didn't preach everything you could preach. You cheated us. Now, let's look at the Levitical sacrifice here. Leviticus 1. Now, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring of your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he'll put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. That means simply when he put his hand on it, that was the same as him dying for his sins. In other words, he said, this is my substitute. Personally, this is my substitute. It's mine. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because we're talking about a type of Jesus Christ. This is my substitute. All right. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. Now, do you understand what he's saying? I'm going to kill him. Your sins put Christ on the cross. See? Your sins keep him from being king. Because he's got to be high priest, mediator, and intercessor. You're gumming up the works. Put my hand and say, that's right. That's right. I do that freely. No one's coercing me. You'll kill the bullock, and the priest of Aaron's son shall take the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altars by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall flay the burnt offering and cut it in pieces. Sons of Aaron, the priest, put fire on the altar and laid the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest and Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat and the order of the wood upon the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the offering be of the flock, namely the sheep or the goat, or for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. Now I want you to notice something. This is a male without blemish. You hear what I said? It's a male without blemish. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. It's a lamb. Now, okay, and he shall kill it at the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood round about the altar and cut it into pieces, and his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them on the order on the wood that's on the fire, which is upon the altar, but he shall wash the inwards of the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It's a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, you don't have to read any further about the fowls and all, but you can go pretty well through the same thing there. All right. Now, thus we see the lamb, the sacrifice, was baptized or washed in water. And then notice John 1 and 33. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove upon him. Now, verse 33, and knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. Now, he said, this is the Lamb of God. This is that one that after he's gone down in the water, identified, you're going to see the Spirit of God fall. Now, you ready? John 7, 37, 39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come into me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. All right, you've got the sacrifice. You've got the washing of the sacrifice. You have got the actual symbology of the death and resurrection. And then comes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the people. Now notice Jesus himself went down under the water. and came up before the Holy Spirit came upon him. It was incumbent upon him that he go into the water. So here is what we are seeing, and don't fail to get the simplicity. Jesus was first of all baptized in water, then came upon him the Holy Spirit filling him, or the baptism with the Holy Ghost. If he is our pattern, and we know that he is our pattern, water baptism is a must, or the right preceding step to the rebirth, or the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now there you are. Now somebody says, well, I think maybe I don't have to do it. Then you want a better example than Jesus. The very person that you would claim to be your Savior denigrating. Something doesn't add up. See? Doesn't add up. Now, it is baptized in water and then it is Spirit filling us. That is exactly what was said by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Well, let's go to Acts, the second chapter, 37 to 39. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their hearts. Conviction had fallen upon them. See? Well, I'm wrong. Something's got to be done about me. And Peter said, repent. Which means be having a change of mind. Get your thoughts lined up. Get right with the Word of God. Get God's thoughts instead of your own thoughts. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now it tells you right there, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's absolutely what happened there on the day of Pentecost, is what it says in John 7:37-39, the last day of the feast, that great day Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, any man to me and drink, and out of his belly, as the Scriptures have said, shall flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified. And Peter said, God has glorified him, the Holy Ghost has fallen. They said, what do we do? He said, simple, change your mind. Change your mind about what? You're not under law anymore. You're under grace. There's a new era ushered in. Be baptized in water and come and get what God has for you. Now, that's exactly what he said. Now, people want to put it this way. They want to put it that way. They want to put it here. They want to put it there. And by that, I mean they want to put a little delaying tactic over here, a delaying tactic over here, a condition over here. Shut up! If you can't say what the Scripture says, shut up! I'll tell you why, because by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. And if you say opposite to God, you make God a liar, he'll go to the lake of fire. So have fun. I'm a rough preacher and a tough one, and you know it and I know it. But we're not here to fool. I got no time for this hogwash I was taught years ago. We got a vindicated word in this hour. Not that it wasn't always vindicated, there it stood. But people thought they could fool with it. And you know what they fooled with it? It's brought the place we're right today. And you know where we are? We're in a church world that denies the very word of God that set their heart to destroy what they're supposed to build up. And you've got doctors that are supposed to keep the people healthy and well. And they've got a union that destroys the very people and precepts they're supposed to work on and help. We've got a government that's supposed to run right. And they destroy the very precepts of the land that we're in. Everything has gone to destruction. Then people say, well, you should be nice, Brother Vail, and talk about this love. I can't wait for the fire of judgment to fall. You say, why? Because he can't wait either. I'm not bloodthirsty. I'd run at the sight of blood, especially mine. Don't worry. But I tell you what, there's something happened this last couple of years. All right, we got the pattern. It's wise to go back then and study the water baptism of Jesus. To begin with, baptism simply means immersion. In this case, it is placing into and placing under water. Immersion means placing in water, placing under water. Not to sound sacrilegious, but it's the actual truth of the matter. It's like taking a dish to a dishpan that's full of water. And you put the dish in the water, and you take the dish out of the water. It's that simple. Now, that's too simple. People want to put a lot of ideas about it. Like when you're little kids, and you're little girls especially, and boys worse than ever don't want to do dishes, so their parents teach them little songs about the dish in the water to get you doing little things, you know, just... We're not playing washing dishes, brother, sister. It's just what it says. Water, baptism, is immersion. It's going into the water, under the water, coming out of the water, going to the bank. Now, here is what I'm getting at. This baptism of Jesus, though it corresponded to the washing of the sacrifice, now listen, and it was the washing of the sacrifice, did not do one thing for him except to identify him as the sacrificial Messiah. Now listen, in plain English, this washing or baptism did not clean him up. He was already clean. Now listen, they offered clean animals in the sacrifice. See, he was clean. It did not make him acceptable as though he were not already acceptable. It didn't. Let's go to John 1 again. 24 to 29. Let's get this down flat now. Because we got to understand just what the scripture is all about. And they sent unto him that were the Pharisees, and they asked John the Baptist, and said, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Elijah, neither that prophet? And John answered and said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you don't know. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, his shoes latch, and I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John sees Jesus coming and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now listen, remember, the word of God said, provide your own oxen, provide your own sheep, provide your own turtle dove, and now God is providing his. All right, let's go to Isaiah 42 and 1 and see it. Behold my servant whom I delight, uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon. There's not one thing said there that Jesus needed cleaning up. He was already clean. All right, let's just show that a little further. He's called the sacrificial lamb. He's called the one that God ordained, the one in whose soul he is pleased. He's pleased with him. Let's go to Exodus 12, 1 to 11. We want to get the picture right, brother, sister, so we understand what we're doing here. Exodus 12, 1 to 11. Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be the beginning of months to you, the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month shall they take to every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him take his neighbor next to his house, taking the cord number of souls, every man according to eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it up from the sheep and from the goats, and keep it up 14 days of the same month of the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill tonight. In other words, he said, you're going to get a certain one that's absolutely healthy and perfect, and you're going to watch it for 14 days to see there's nothing brewing in it that could make it unhealthy. In other words, 14 days of incubation. And Jesus was given his lifetime to prove, and he said, which of you convinceth me of sin or finds me wrong in one word? He was the perfect Lamb of God. So the washing didn't add to it. The washing didn't add to this lamb that was killed. The washing did not add to that oxen or whatever it was that's for a burnt sacrifice. He shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord and the priest. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about the altar. And he shall cut into pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in the order of the order on the wood, which be upon the fire that's on the altar. But he shall wash inwards, and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all, and burn it upon the altar. Now then, there's a washing with the sacrifice. Okay, in the 10th verse, notice, and it shall be, his offering shall be of the flock, namely, of the sheep or the goats for a burnt sacrifice. He shall bring it a male without blemish. It's without blemish. In other words, it has already been approved of God. See? So the washing doesn't make it approved. The washing doesn't cleanse it. I hope you're getting what I'm driving at here. Because this is the whole thing we're dealing with. That's what Peter said. It is not anything but an answer of a good conscience toward God, but it's there. It doesn't wash away your sins. This washing of the sacrifice did nothing to make Jesus perfect. It did nothing to make the sacrifice perfect. But it was there in a type when he would be baptized. And just hold your thoughts because I'm going to bring you to it. I haven't brought you to it yet, so don't get all puzzled and wonder about it. I'm going to take you right to it. All right. He was already approved of God. Let's go to Acts, the 3rd chapter, 12 to 15. And when Peter saw it, this is where the lame man got healed, and everybody wondered. Ye men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? As though and you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now, he was already approved. Now, if he was already approved, the washing in water did not further approve him. All right. So we see it wasn't water baptism that approved him or made him fit. That is, a fit person. Not fit into the scheme of things, but fit. His baptism in water was a public display or witness to his fitness to be what he came to be. That's exactly. I am becoming baptizing, and this one that's going to be baptized is the one that is making the public display that he is the one. It's a public display. It's a witness. All right. His baptism in water was a public display or witness to his fitness to be what he came to be, which is our Redeemer by his own blood. Then when he came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost filled him. It was a witness that he witnessed to God, and God witnessed back by filling him with the Holy Ghost. It was a public display. Now, he came up out of the water and the Spirit filled him. Actually, God incarnated himself in Jesus at that time. So let's go back now to the book of Peter. People have just taken and either made too little of Peter or too much of Peter. And they missed the point entirely, and it's a pitiful thing they do, because my, they should leave it as it is. For Christ also once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, where in the ark was a preparing few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Now he's talking about the people in the ark, where the water saved them, but took away the rest. So therefore they were saved by water, and they were saved also to coming down on the new land which God had renovated. the water saved both them and the land. Now let's watch carefully what he says in here. Now, when the like figure unto even baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's telling you, you're making a witness to the public that you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins, that you're going to come back and take the world over. That's exactly what you're doing. Because that's what the resurrection's about. If Christ be not raised and we don't rise, we're of all men most miserable. I'm coming back to take over. See, I'm a part of the resurrection. I'm a part of the new setup. See, I'm looking forward to it. That's what your water baptism is all about. See? So, we see then in verse 21 that Jesus stood there before God in that water. That's what we're looking at. That figure. Jesus stood there in that water before God, and he was answering back to God before men and women who looked on that. He was now ready to identify with God through the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He stood there as a witness that he was that one and identifying with God through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, because when he fully took his position to witness, you understand what I'm saying? When he fully took his position before the people in that water, and came up out of the water, God came right down on him and identified him and said, you're the one that's going to take over. Now look, you're not going to deny the truth because that's the truth. And he said, the like figure in Noah's Ark. Now they didn't die. They didn't go down in the water. The water carried them up. See? Now, it doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. Jesus had no filth of flesh to put away. It doesn't put yours away. It's an answer to the fact that you have repented unto justification and you're already forgiven and the blood has made you perfect before God, so that now you can be filled with the Holy Ghost just the same as he was and come and take over. So we see then in verse 21 that Jesus stood there before God in that water, and he was answering back to God before men and women. He's literally answering back to God before as a witness to them. And those men and women looked on, and they saw that he was now ready to identify with God through the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And you can see this perfectly in Matthew 3:13-17. So let's go back and look at it. Matthew 3:13-17. We read it already. Then come Jesus from Galilee to John, to Jordan to be baptized of him. And John forbade him. He said, held him back. He said, look, he said, hey, I should be baptized of you. Why do you come to me? Now people say, hey, I need the Holy Ghost. Who needs this water baptism? Oh, it really doesn't matter too much, my brother, my sister, as long as you get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What Holy Ghost do you get outside of proper baptism? Tell me, you get anointing, that's all you get. Oh, listen, I thank God today for a revealed word. I'm an angry preacher. I'm angry at all the junk and the hogwash, the corruption that I've been taught. What might I have been as a saint of God had I had the right teaching? False doctrine and false dogmas destroy. Oh, sure. John pushed it to one side. He said, hold it, suffer to be so. I got to make a witness here. There's a witness involved in this. Listen, in the first church age, they put much on that witness. The minute you got baptized, you're stigmatized. Now, well, which church you baptized in, honey? What, were you baptized in the Catholic Church? Well, which Catholic Church? The Eastern Branch or the Western Branch or the Middle Branch? Oh, you're Protestant. Which of the several hundred? I went down, down Florida years ago, and this man was a Church of Christ, but he saw the Baptists had more business. So he said, I'll become a Baptist. I said, then you were a Baptist. Yeah, I was baptized in the local church. I said, hogwash. He was baptized for a buck, for the price of a few gallons of gas. Oh, that's what were you baptized to? Come on. Now, you sitting here and you tell me you got the Holy Ghost, and I don't doubt you have. But did you hear preaching like this before this message? No, you didn't hear preaching like this. Because it wasn't open to us. Everything was played down. Well, nothing really matters, long as you love Him. What makes you think you love Him? I want to tell you something. John the Baptist made a very big mistake here by saying to Jesus, he said, why do you come to me? He said, I'll be coming to you. And yet it wasn't a big mistake, but it was a big mistake. John was wrong. John got so wrong when the chips were down, after screaming, behold the Lamb of God, that's the one, I know Him, that's it. When the chips were down, the going got rough, he sent secret believers to Jesus and said, hey, were you really the one that didn't make a mistake? I don't care two bits about any prophet in a sense of the word. It's the word that counts. It never was the prophet per se. It was the word hidden the prophet. And old John was as human as anybody. And I loved that about Brother Branham. I knew him as a human being. That was the tops. He said, Brother Bailey, you're nuts. I thank you. You paid me a compliment. Nicest thing anybody could say, because of you, he'd say a whole lot worse than that. He said, listen, why do you come to me? And Jesus said, hold it. He never argued. He never explained it. He said, just let it go at this time. Just let it go and do it. Even John didn't have the full revelation. Do you know we're getting it? Oh, you know that I'm a mess. I never pretended. But look, he takes the beggars off of dung heaps to make them. I mean, if you don't smell like a manure pile, you ain't going to get the glory to face it. You might as well listen. I just get so thrilled at times. I could scream and just scream. That's all I want to do, scream, because there are no words to express. But we have what nobody else ever had. We're going to walk into immortality. He just said, look, don't try to figure it out. He said, just do it. People looked at the Bible under the seven seals and they tried to peek under the seven seals. They couldn't figure it. He said, just wait. And people couldn't wait. And one day a prophet vindicated, came, ripped the seals off to our understanding, yours and mine. Now they say, well, they're not ripped off. People can't suffer anything. Huh? Can you let your own thinking go this morning? That's what really counts. Well, he said, he just let it ride, he said. Because there's something in here that's got to be fulfilled. Righteousness. In other words, there's something that's got to be done, complying with the law so that everything in the law is fulfilled. I am the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was perfect or it couldn't be accepted. The washing is the witness. And somebody had to wash it. So John takes Jesus and immerses him in the water, and there's your witness right there to the sacrifice, to the whole thing. Jesus came up out of the water, baptized. The heavens were opened. The Spirit of God came upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I'm pleased to dwell in him. And that's after water baptism, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and identified with him. And you said, that's my Savior. I stand with him and go down in that water and come up. It says, God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. See? So we come to the place of the most definite and the definitiveness of the understanding of water baptism. Exactly as it says in 1 Peter 3:21, it is not the putting away of the filth of your flesh. No. No way that's been taken care of. Through justification, through your repentance. Not the putting away the flesh, but of an answer of a good conscience toward God. I can go into the water now because I know in whom I have believed. I wasn't baptized as a kid. I was sort of, the preacher came by and I was baptized Lutheran style as a tiny baby, you know, zap zap or something. Then I go to this Methodist, this combination Methodist Presbyterian, and the worst thing in the world is a hybrid. Methodist should stay Methodist and Presbyterian, but they got together. What a mess we had.
I'm 16 years of age now, where God is supposed to join the church. And so he goes, he does a little cross on my head with a couple drops of water, hogwash. How'd you like to baptize your cat that's dead? In other words, I'm talking about burying it. And you put 3 drops of sand on the dead cat, and you say he's buried. Cold brother, sister. If you deal with idiots, you got to talk your language. He put 3 little drops on my head. Then they said, now we're going to take communion. I was scared stiff. Why was I scared stiff? Something inside of me, not yet born unto God, but that little germ in there, that little gene, was saying, hold it, boy. You better not do it. And I was praying to God that I wouldn't do it. And that guy didn't like communion anyway, so he didn't have it. And I never, ever took it in an unbaptized, at least in an unregenerate state. Now I can take it today fully because I'm one of his and I'll swallow it every step. Proper baptism, everything, foot washing, we're in it. It's a witness to God. Oh yeah, I'm glad. Now it said here, the heavens are open. The Spirit came down and he was full of the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter said. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because, brother, sister, the blood has made you perfect. Let me look at that sacrifice. I've got too many scripture here and time's running out. I don't want to take too much more time. You got the picture anyway. Then let's see what we can do. Let's say Romans 5. We'll go to Romans 5 and a couple more. Let's look at it. Now, it says here in the 6 to 9 verses, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. That means declared righteous. Now listen, God justifies the ungodly. He calls the ungodly righteous. Now he couldn't do that with his own son because he had to be godly to take our place. See, that's why there had to be a lamb without blemish. See? And the washing identified him from all the others out there. This was a sacrifice for sin. So it couldn't be just burnt. It had to be identified. They said, wash it. Now here comes Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. Wash him. Now you can burn him. Now therefore God calls the ungodly just. And if you are not ungodly, you can never be just. So I don't think I was born a sinner. That's fine. You'll never be born again. I didn't write the Bible, but believe me, I can read it. I got a pretty good vocabulary too. I used to understand words a whole lot better than I do now, but I still understand them pretty good because I'm not completely ignorant. See, in due time he died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, called righteous by his blood. We should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. And he tells you, friend, if the blood did it and you go to the water, then he fills you with the Holy Ghost. And if the blood did this much, what does the life of God himself do? Oh, man, you're locked in, you're sealed in, it's all over, forget it. Just love him and glorify him and get rid of your own thoughts and ways and say, who cares about anything but him? That's all that's left. Let's go to Hebrews, Hebrews 10. I'm not, as I say, I won't read too much, but I want you to get this on the blood. I want you to understand why you go to water baptism. Why when you repent and you believe on him for your Savior and you lay your hand on him, so to speak, and say, this is my sacrifice. This is the blood that was shed for me. What does it do for you? Let's find out. Acts 10, 4 to 14. And it said, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In other words, not bullocks and this and that. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, I had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, in the bottom of the book it's written to me, I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first to establish the second. The first sacrifice is gone. The second is in. Blood of bulls and goats goats and bullocks are gone. The blood of Christ is in. All right. Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first to establish the second, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, we're separated entirely unto God. The next thing is be sealed unto God. All right. "For every priest standeth daily ministering and offering time and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down in the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies may be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by the blood, whereof the Holy Ghost comes in upon us." And said, "That's right. It's all over." Now what's the steps? Repentance, then get in the water, and expect God to fill you. See, way back in our day, they said, "Hey, you got to tarry. Find me that in Scripture." They'll tell you a lot of things. But I want to find one person, find one Scripture that contradicts Peter. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Back there in the book of Acts, they went down and had a revival in Samaria. They preached about Jesus Christ and His blood. The people got wonderfully saved. They saw the miracles and they knew that Christ was risen. And they said, "We accept this one of our sacrifice." And they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles came down, laid hands on them. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost. Repentance, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost. How in the world can you escape? See, that's what we look at. All right. Your repentance or change of mind brings you to the need of help for salvation. That can only come by blood, because it says over here in the book of Hebrews, the same book, in the 9th chapter, verse 22, "Almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. Then if the blood has been shed and you stand there and say, 'That's my sacrifice,' your sins are gone." Then you're baptized in water. Then God said, "Okay, I'll seal him with the Holy Spirit." All right, once you repent, which is actually to receive Christ in His blood for remission of sin, that's your change of mind. You say, "All right, I don't depend on the church. I don't depend on a record. I don't depend on anything. I'm depending on Him and His blood." Then that blood cleanses you and brings you to the spot where the Holy Ghost can come upon you, because you've been made perfect in God's sight. Now you see, the water didn't do it. The water was a testimony. The sacrifice was already perfect. Before you go in that water, you're already perfect as far as what the blood does for you. The next thing, you're baptized. The next thing, the Holy Ghost comes and seals you back to Almighty God. See? Alright. Thus we see Acts 2:37-39 never changes. No way, shape, or form. But let's go back and look at it and read a little further. For he said, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you Jews, and to your children Jews, and all that are far off, that's Gentiles, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, that Jew and Gentile." The promise is to everyone. What promise? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. On what grounds? There's a sacrifice been offered. Identify yourself with it. Stand in the public and let them know by water baptism. Now I'm going to close. I'm not going to worry about any more notes. If you haven't got it by now, come back again. We'll hit it once more time, or two or three more times. Listen to me. Way back in the old days, they had these Christians. They were godly people. And they had a spirit of the oxen upon them, which meant sacrifice. And when the Romans persecuted them terribly, now this was not the Roman Catholic Church per se, but this was Rome itself, and the heathen nations, and they persecuted these people. And they had them in a lake in Switzerland, I think it was, or up near Germany. And the lake was completely frozen over. And they took all the clothes but a little light garment that people had on. There was 42 of them. 42 people who were going round and round on the ice, knowing they'd fall dead one by one, frozen to death, of frost and malnutrition. And the soldiers were there to see that they kept moving. And they began crying, 42 saints marching unto glory, 42 saints going unto God. And the guard stood there and he watched them, and something began to happen in his soul. and one of them fell dead upon the ice. And they said, 41 saints marching to glory, 41 saints marching unto God. And he threw down his sword, he threw down everything, and he embraced Christ, and he raised his hand. He said, now, 42 saints. See, listen, I want to tell you something, brother, sister. A lot of people don't realize you've got to identify with him. That's the whole thing what it's all about. And water baptism is your public testimony that Jesus Christ died upon Calvary. But he just didn't die upon Calvary. He died for you personally. He died for you personally. That you received him, and his blood is the only way to salvation. Knowing that water baptism is your witness, and when you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's literally saying, I belong to him and him alone. And when you say that and you mean it, and he knows that you mean it, the next thing he does, he fills you with the Holy Ghost, which is that ring, that signet, that seal. Let me read it to you. It says over here in the book of Ephesians, which we've read so many, many times, because you know I preach out of that, the very important last day message, which is ours. And he said here, in whom you also hoped after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. And of course were baptized in water to show your witness. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And like our good friend Noah, who was sealed into the ark after the waters were about to come. Now look, let's face it. It's a good thing he was sealed in. Now that's not a true type of baptism with the Holy Ghost, but let's just change it just a little bit without hurting anything, because I don't want to hurt any scripture and violate any of it. But let's understand this one thing, that old Noah, at the time of the flood, after which we could say represents the great destruction coming on earth, which is true, and all that sort of stuff. But he was sealed in there by God so that he couldn't get out if he tried to get out, and nobody could get in if they tried to get in. Now let me tell you something. When you are sealed with the Holy Ghost, there is nothing else can get in and nobody can get out. A Saturday night message I preached on Easter Eve concerning we were once padlocked unto sin and death. When God ripped that padlock off, he turned around and put another padlock on us. Yeah. But this time it's a good one. This time is where we're sealed into him. Listen, brother, sister, don't ever forget it. Understand this perfectly, completely. Understand it now and don't let it get away from you. It is simple as ABC. Christ died for the ungodly. Paul said, this is the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, there's one step left for you to do. Go and get baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. You have done everything you'll ever need to do. The next thing he will do, which is to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Say, brother, then what will I feel like? Forget your feelings. I don't know what you're going to feel like. You could have a feeling and be entirely wrong. What do you care what you feel like? It's his word that said he would do it. I don't have any feelings anymore. Everything I believe is against feeling. I'm feeling rotten. It's time to die. I want to get out of here. But I can't even tell you that. I want to be out of here by tomorrow morning. If I don't, I sure got to get to my good friend Dr. Beery in Lima, because I'm getting that same thing back in here again. And maybe I'll die with it. I'm not within that bad arm. But I could die having a bad arm and a lot of other things. I'd like to get out of here, but I've got news for you. I've got to tell you what the Word of God says. I shall not die but live. And you say, who are you? I am simply one who tells you what the Word of God is. I'm not going to make him a liar. He said, well, Brother Vail, aren't your feelings against it? How good did Abraham feel at 100 years of age? Crouching the old Cain, and God said, hey, you're going to have a son. He said, yeah, me and who else? He said, hallelujah, did you hear that, Sarah? She said, oh, he said that before, too. And people say, yeah, he said that years ago about he's supposed to be here. And yes, they said that back in 1876, but he wasn't, but he's here now. Oh, I'm not excited. I'm just really excited. Yes, sir. Oh, listen, forget your feelings. Forget your feelings. If you don't know where you stand, I got news for you. We got one to be baptized today. Let's have some more. If you don't know where you stand, you can only go as far as your faith has taken you. And if it hasn't gone any further, maybe than some of your faith, because I don't know your hearts. That's just where you stop. Get baptized anew in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, if you don't know you have the Holy Spirit, get down in that water and say, that's your word, Lord, and forget your feelings, they'll destroy you.
I don't have any feelings on the subject anymore because I know I've got the Word.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I say, Brother Dale, I don't think you're much a Christian. I don't either. It makes us unanimous, but God does have that both out. Yeah, oh, hallelujah. You love this 11 today?
Yeah.
I love him with all my heart. Let's rise. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. If he hasn't, make it your prayer and believe it, because he'll do it. Just come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let it breathe on me. Let him breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Let him breathe on me. Yes, Lord. Let him breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Heavenly Father, we're here in your presence, and just mentioning we're here in your presence does so much. As the prophet said, if we really bleed, we all be lying prostrate at your feet on the floor. Literally, as it were, groveling in a sense of our own unworthiness, and yet we'd have lost that in the fact of the adoring of your wonderful person, because we know you're one with you. We respect that. Honor it, O God. Love it. Appreciate it. No end. And can't tell you enough, Lord, how we love you and how we're willing to stand, Lord, on your word. And we're not worried anymore about feelings and manifestations and experiences, but we're leaning on the one experience of him who stood there and said, suffer to be so now. I've got to be identified before the people identify myself. Then hanging there in the cross, was able to give his life blood. Lord, you raised him up for our justification. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus makes me white as snow. And the Holy Ghost seals us. And Lord, we know that's true and we stand on it. Thank God we've passed away from this idea of emotions and all these other things that don't mean anything but roadblocks and detours and problems. We're right back to the Word of God. And there isn't any problem because you stand behind it, Lord. For those that are baptized or that one, Lord, I've got the faith today to believe that there must be the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There has got to be the passing, not of life from death only, but a filling, a sealing of a dynamism, Lord. Not going anymore by experience, going by the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for that privilege today. Thank you, Lord, that you should so honor a people, Lord, that make yourself known to us. And it's just too much, Lord. It's just too much. But we accept it. Hallelujah. Not upon the strength of the feeling, but upon the definite identification in this hour. We praise thee, O God, and give thee the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Certainly thank the Lord for his goodness. And if Sister Flora wants to be baptized today, she'll also be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We believe that. That's what the Bible said. What is else there to do? If God said it, God said it. I mean, let's face it. When Adam named all those animals and things, that's because God told him, but he didn't make a mistake. God doesn't fool with the Word. God stands behind it. So we know our sister should be certainly baptized, but we just stand on that. She's baptized the Holy Ghost. Anybody else? You want to come along? That's fine. And we'll be going down to Brethren Church. I believe that's on Detroit Street. I know we're all welcome. I think we said the man would get there about 1:15. That's just about right.
So, all right, we just consider ourselves dismissed. We'll get in our cars and go down there. Brother Evans, you'll be baptizing your sister in order to Bill. So, all right, let's just take the name of Jesus with us, and we'll be on our way. Let's get in the cars quickly, and we'll be going. All right, Lloyd, starting.